Now, the big news has been that Candace Owens, despite being months late to the Gaza situation, the Gaza genocide, as well as being very mild-hearted on the issues, to say the least, she's been ousted by someone who you have done some work in uncovering their connections to this massive machinery that Israel has at its disposal, Ben Shapiro. So maybe you can talk about this kind of dark web of misinformation that Ben Shapiro represents, misinformation, I should say, and how it fits within Israel's ability to get away with these crimes against humanity and this genocide that's going on right now in Gaza.
Well, Israel has established networks of journalists that it works with. It has, as has been seen in the case of CNN, where you saw Mark Thompson, the well-known former head of the BBC, well-known for his pro-Israel stances, close relationship with Ariel Sharon, regularly took pro-Israel decisions at the BBC, then went into CNN and continued with similar pushes. You've seen Sky News fire a presenter, or at least take her off air at behest of the Israeli government. And all of this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a plethora of operations being launched to subjugate different media platforms all the time by Israel and its proxies around the world. But in the case of Ben Shapiro, you have an interesting convergence here of the independent media sphere being hijacked by pro-Israel interests. And I am really not being facetious or exaggeratory when I would say that Ben Shapiro is essentially an Israeli military asset. And I'll explain how I make such an assertion, because I'm not making it lightly. Now, to start with, we look at this company, which has just got rid of Candace Owens. And her last episode gave an indication that she was planning on filming another episode. So it certainly wasn't something that she had an awareness of before the filming of her last episode at the company. So that implies that it's not just a simple ending of relationship or her being free. There is an ideological reason behind her being pushed out of the company. Now, the Daily Wire is funded by ExpressVPN, which is very important and massive company in terms of internet usage. But ExpressVPN, the sole owner of it, is Cape Technologies. Now, Cape Technologies is owned by Israeli billionaire Teddy Sagi, who donates millions for the transport of Israeli soldiers. The CEO, the current CEO of Cape Technologies, which funds the Daily Wire, is Ido Ehrlichman, who is a veteran of the Israeli intelligence Duvdevan unit. That is the very unit that ran into the hospital in Jenin, disguised as Palestinians, and assassinated several people there. The Duvdevan is an infamous unit of the Israeli military. And essentially, when you look at the trajectory of Ben Shapiro's career, far from being a grassroots expression of organic groundswell as an independent journalist, what you actually have is a long line of billionaires who have funded his push, which I believe is a psychological operation that works lock in step with Israeli objectives, but also, and this is a more interesting aspect of it, with the US government, especially under the Trump years. Now, before the founding of the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro was funded by Robert Shilman, a tech billionaire on the board of the Friends of the IDF. Now, that is the largest organization which funnels hundreds of millions of dollars every year from the United States directly into the Israeli occupation forces. Now, Ben Shapiro was a Shilman fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. David Horowitz, of course, renowned Israel lobbyist, bullying students across the United States on university campuses. Now, at the same time that Ben Shapiro was a Shilman fellow, Tommy Robinson was also a Shulman Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Now, Tommy Robinson is the well-known British Islamophobe. Now, according to Lucy Brown, who was a former employee of Tommy Robinson, he was receiving £10,000 a year at a time when £10,000 a month at a time when £10,000 was about between $16,000 to $20,000 a month. So if Robinson and Shapiro were receiving the same kind of wage from Shulman, who was at the same time on the board of the Friends of the IDF, then we have some kind of picture of where Shapiro's earnings were from his role at that time. However, now when you're looking at an operation like the Daily Wire, you are talking about at least tens of millions is flowing through that organization, partly from subscribers, but also from funders like Cape Technologies. Now, Shapiro and the co-founder of the Daily Wire, Jeremy Bowring, actually helped set up another very popular and well-known YouTube channel, Prager University. Now, Prager University is the brainchild of Dennis Prager, who is a well-known open Israel lobbyist. Now, when Ben Shapiro and Jeremy Bowring were working on Prager University, they worked directly under Marissa Strait, who was a veteran of Israeli Unit 8200 military intelligence. Now, that is the unit of the Israeli military which surveils Palestinian electronic communications. And really, in the revolution, that actually a silent revolution led by the Netanyahu government in 2012, whereby Israel sold itself as the startup nation, and you had a real flowing of Unit 8200 alumni into private companies around the world. That is how you get Black Cube. That is how you get the NSO group, which founded Pegasus, which came up with Pegasus, spyware on people's phones. Unit 8200 was exported around the world. So really, when you look at particular units in the Israeli military, like the Talpot, like the Duvdivan, like the 8200, like the 81, these are considered to be the pride of this state, which, you know, they say most states have a military, but Israel is a military with a state. That is certainly the way that it has functioned. And like I said, 2012 marked a turning point because a lot of these Unit 8200 alumni were then inserted, not only setting up private companies, but into private companies. Now, Ben Shapiro has constantly positioned himself as delivering the propaganda necessary to achieve particular objectives for Israel's policies. So, for example, he has an article which was online in 2003, which reads in the following way. If you believe Israel has a right to exist, then you must allow Israel to transfer the Palestinians and Israeli Arabs from Judea and Samaria, that's what they call the West Bank, Gaza and Israel proper. Time to stop being squeamish. Transfer is not genocide. Now, that article has been wiped from the internet, but we have the archive of that article and where it was published. So people are free to see it on my Twitter. But when you see what's happening in Gaza, when you see the statements that are coming out of Israeli political figures, Israeli military figures, Israeli settler leaders, they're all talking about the depopulation and the expulsion of the Palestinians. What's happening now is an extension of the Plan Dalit that was applied in 1984. It's an extension of what Nour al-Masalha described in his wonderful book, The Expulsion of the Palestinians. Of course, it's wonderful because it's written so well and it's researched so well, but not because of the content. But this is the mainstay of the Zionist movement, genocidal depopulation of Palestine and constant war of attrition against the indigenous population. Now, in the early days of the Daily Wire, and this is why we have to keep understanding that Ben Shapiro has been constantly reliant upon billionaires invested in all manner of industry. So, for example, the early days of the Daily Wire, millions of dollars flooded into the organization from the fracking billionaires, the Wilkes brothers. Now, the Wilkes brothers are also deeply invested in something called the Liberty Council, which has a Stand With Israel campaign where they would host Netanyahu as a speaker and, of course, take people to occupied Palestine to marvel at Israel. But there's another aspect of what Ben Shapiro does, which brings in the United States. And you have to understand that we currently have operating a trilateral security state, which is the complete immersion and the complete welding of Britain, the United States, and Israel. And that's a security relationship. That's not on the basis of the political sphere. That's what happens military to military, intelligence agency to intelligence agency. The part where one begins and the other ends is almost impossible to tell now. And it has grown more and more over these years. So this is where you have an interesting aspect of the Ben Shapiro project, because the chief operating officer of the Daily Wire today is none other than John Lewis, who is a former intelligence analyst in the US Marine Corps. What we also know is that the Daily Wire has employed previously a former US military intelligence officer by the name of Wesley Schmidt in customer service analytics. That means looking at the information which they glean from their users and their viewers and their customers. What type of information do they have access to? It's not really clear, but the way the internet functions is a lot of people's information is being passed over to places that they may donate to or subscribe to or use regularly. Now, the interesting aspect is when Jordan Peterson is brought into this fold, because one of his earliest, if not his first video for the Daily Wire, was an Abraham's Accords inspired message to Muslims. It was called Message to Muslims. And it was a very crude and cheap way for Jordan Peterson to display his ignorance, for one. But essentially what he was trying to do was minimize this conflict of asymmetric military power between the imposition of Zionism on people of the region. And essentially what Zionism is the continual attempt to fit a square into a circle. You're talking about a place that has a particular demographic makeup, which has naturally developed across the last few hundreds of years. And Israel is attempting to artificially produce a new demographic equation. And in order to do that, it has to launch genocidal war on genocidal war against the Palestinians, but also regular airstrikes against people of the region. Now, the interesting part we have here is the same day that Jordan Peterson, after signing a contract worth millions of dollars with the Daily Wire, as I'm sure Candace Owens' contract was probably worth with them, but you don't know for sure, Shapiro published an interview with Arya Lightstone. Now, Arya Lightstone held a position in the US government which very few people even know exists. That position is the US Special Envoy for Economic Normalization. What is that job? So that job is that person is tasked with normalizing economic relations between Israel and the UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, Kosovo, and Morocco. Now, Lightstone was on Shapiro's podcast talking about the wonderful achievements of the Abraham Accords. But Lightstone is somebody that also described himself as a friend of Ben Shapiro. Now, according to the Jerusalem Post, Lightstone plays an instrumental role in the big strategic moves that have taken place along the US-Israel axis, particularly the series of normalization and peace deals that have come about in recent months. So Israel has always excelled at being able to outsource what it wants to the United States, to Britain, and now also more and more to some of these states that were mentioned in that Abraham Accords normalization process. And just so we're clear where the Abraham Accords has led to regionally. So regionally, you have the axis of resistance, which you see in Lebanon, you see in Yemen, you see in Iraq, you see in Iran. And on the other side, you have the axis of assistance. Now, the axis of assistance, just so we're clear, is not simply the Jordanian army shooting down rockets fired from Iraq towards Tel Aviv. It's not simply Jordan, Saudi, and the UAE providing a land bridge as an alternative to goods being delivered to the port of Eilat by the Red Sea, via the Red Sea. What it actually is, for instance, the Edge Group, which is a UAE arms company owned by the state of the UAE. That company, that state-owned company, is a part owner of Highlander Aviations, which manages Israel's airspace. Yeah, that is the fruit of the Abraham Accords that we're talking about, for which Shapiro has attempted to provide the sort of ambience and try and convert people to its cause. What else are we talking about? We're talking about Saudi Arabia, through the Jared Kushner founded Affinity Partners, which Kushner claimed very clearly, this organization exists to create an investment corridor between the Gulf and Israel. Yeah. So putting Gulf money into Israel. But what's one of the companies that Affinity Partners, which was founded by the Saudis and Jared Kushner, what's one of the companies it owns? One of the companies it owns is Shlomo Group. Now, the Shlomo Group is an Israeli vehicle company which has been equipping several units in the Israeli military, namely the Shaldag unit, which we will get into a little bit later on in the show, particularly with regards to Eshifa. So this was what the Abraham Accords was about. It was about creating a trench for states in the region to fight alongside Israel against the will of the vast majority of people in the region. And what is considered to be the weakest point, the most vulnerable pressure point in the global south today, is considered to be Gaza. And so what you're doing is you're raining down the full might of the collective global north, Canada, Germany, the United States, Britain, Israel, on the backs of the poorest people in the world in Gaza, as a demonstration to the rest of the global south that we can get away with this. And we will do this to you if you get too uppity.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you said is so important. Given what we know about Israel and the United States and the UK together now with these Gulf countries, I think this is a good point. With the Abraham Accords, there were some who were trying to advocate for this, saying, well, the Abraham Accords will create peace. It'll normalizing Israel is not like just normalizing what it does. It's normalized. It's you know, going along with the UN and normalization, diplomacy. But everything that you said here, and given the fact that top Zionist propagandists like Ben Shapiro are advocating for it, seems to indicate that the Abraham Accords, even though they haven't even been signed, everything leading up to them has essentially led to an attempt, somewhat successful, to in terms of at least the most compliant regional states surrounding Palestine, to get them to basically do Israel's bidding and to be okay with it and to benefit from it to some degree, at least when it comes to the regimes.
I mean, absolutely. What people need to understand about this talk about will the Saudis normalize with Israel, will they or won't they? The Saudis have already normalized with Israel, and I'll describe two major ways, very, very consequential ways, in which the Saudis have normalized with Israel. So number one, you have the Israeli intelligence firm Cellebrite, which is headed by alumni of Unit 8200. Saudis have hacked the phones of their own citizens using this private Israeli intelligence company. When Jamal Khashoggi was killed by the Saudi government, his phone was hacked with Pegasus spyware from NSO Group. And we know actually that NSO Group, rather than being an independent private company, it is an arm of the Israeli government. that the information which is procured from these people's devices through Pegasus spyware is actually seen by NSO Group employees. You had, for example, Sherry Blair, who's on the board, ethical advisor to NSO Group, inform one of the princesses of Dubai that her phone was being hacked by her husband. Now, if NSO Group has no access to what Pegasus is gathering, then how would Sherry Blair know that? So what you're talking about is essentially the functions of Saudi's, both Saudi's external and intelligence agencies, external and intelligence and internal intelligence agencies are actually, in some cases, being outsourced to Israeli intelligence companies that are umbilically connected to the Israeli government. So it's happened. Normalization has already happened. It's just the extent of which is not clear. And the ability for Israel to use it in PR is at this stage limited because the agreement has to remain secret and the exact components of that agreement are also secret.
Thank you for tuning in to my latest video. I appreciate all of your support. This channel, however, needs your help. I am seeking to make this channel more sustainable in the long term and upgrade necessary equipment to ensure that this work continues onward and makes progress to give you all of the geopolitical analysis that you all deserve. For that reason, I'm asking you to become a member of my Patreon community at patreon.com/DannyHaiFong. You can find that link in the video description or in the pinned comment below. For whatever amount you choose to give, just know you are supporting independent media that you can't find anywhere else. Thank you so much, and I look forward to the next video. Thank you.